This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Inspirations. I'm your host, Hala Benani, a faith-based counselor with over 25 years experience helping thousands of Muslims around the globe live their best life. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. Our guest today needs no introduction. He is a living legend. Allahumma barak. His amazing life journey took him from Christianity to communism to not only embracing Islam, but earning a PhD in Islamic theology. This Jamaican Canadian was one of the forerunners in doing dawah in the West. He has written, translated, and commented on over 50 published books on various Islamic topics, named one of the 500 most influential Muslim for founding the International Online University, which has had hundreds of thousands of students, mashallah, tabarakallah. It's truly an honor to have Dr. Bilal Phillips today. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And it's my pleasure to join you today.
MashaAllah, you have had a passion for education. You've invested years studying yourself, and now you've dedicated your life to educating the Muslim Ummah, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. Where did this passion for education come from?
It is something, we could say, inborn to some degree. Both of my parents are teachers, or were teachers. They're not alive anymore. But alhamdulillah, you know, I grew up in a family of teachers, you know, and instructors.
Lovely.
And they were constantly guiding me, you know, as I grew up. And after I graduated from university and began working in the field of education, you know, they invited me to be an Islamic studies teacher in a school which they were running in Riyadh, called Manarat Riyadh Schools.
So they took you under their wings and showed you the path for education and encouraged you. And what was the inspiration for the International Open University?
Well, the International Open University, it used to be called the Islamic Online University, but the International Open University's inspiration was, to some degree, a natural consequence of the path I was going on, in the sense that I taught in high school and junior high Islamic studies. Then I became an instructor in university in Dubai, in the American University of Dubai. Then in Ajman, I became the head of a Department of Islamic Studies. So I was constantly moving forward towards university. And by the 90s, by the early 2000s, when the internet became much more popular and education shifted to the internet, you know, I joined that shift, tried to set up a university initially, but didn't have the necessary knowledge and information accessible to set up and run completely. So I set up a university. It ran for 1 year and then had to shut down because we didn't have the technology to do it. But that moved on. I became an instructor in an online university from Riyadh, Knowledge International University. And I set up the Department for Islamic Studies there for the English medium. And then I was invited to India to set up the first Islamic university, accredited, recognized Islamic university in India, you know, which was set up in Chennai. And after that, after setting up that university and striving towards an international open university, which was, you could say, sabotaged by Indian security concerns. Mm. They didn't renew my visa, and the foreign instructors that I wanted to bring into India, they didn't allow them. And the foreign students that I wanted also to come and be a part of the whole project, they didn't allow them. So then at that point, I said, you know, I need to just go online myself. You know, so that's what took me fully online in 2010.
Mashallah. That was a blessing in disguise. And that's so important for people to know that sometimes certain doors get closed, but it's Allah guiding you in a better direction. And so you took that opportunity to establish your own, the International Open University. And, you know, in the past, people had to travel to Muslim countries. They had to spend thousands of dollars to get an Islamic education. And you have made it so affordable and accessible to all people around the globe, mashallah. So how easy is it to study in IOU?
It's very easy if one is patient, you know, because if one is familiar with the internet, then it's super easy. But if one is not accustomed to studying online, then there are the difficulties of having to learn how to get into study online. The process of enrollment is quite simple, but the study process itself requires a level of commitment, a good sense of time management. That's probably the biggest factor. Right. Most of the people that I speak to who, you know, have been with me in IOU for years, you know, doing one semester or a couple of semesters and then stopping and coming back after another year or so. You know, when I talk to them, what's stopping you from just going through and finishing it? They always say, you know, it's time management. It's just managing time. Yes. So this is the challenge, really. I was just saying that in some circumstances, like we have a charitable project, which is a 1 million scholarships for African youth.
MashaAllah.
In that project,
tell us
where we have set up learning centers for the students. You know, the learning centers with a manager who keeps track of their time, you know, became a necessity to keep track. Although studying online should mean you have your laptop, you can do it in your bedroom, you know, before at night when or anytime you want to do it. But, you know, where people are not used to studying and managing their time, then they need to be in a more formal setting. So the learning centers became critical to help the students feel as though they're in a classroom and feel as though there is somebody who is, who's going to be checking on them. Did you do your assignments? Did you do your tests? Did you do this? Did you do that? Checking like this. So where people are familiar, it's no problem. It's just smooth sailing. Where people are not familiar with online study, then it has its difficulties. And we need to provide supportive systems to help them manage their time, you know, and be consistent in their study.
That's amazing. So when someone has the background, it's very easy. It's self-paced. You can arrange it. There's flexibility. So that's very beneficial, especially for stay-at-home moms. They may have kids. They may not be able to go to the university. So you have provided that. And I love the fact that you have provided this, the 1 million scholarship to African youth. That's really phenomenal. May Allah reward you for that. Now, many people don't know the difference between Islamicized education and Islamic education. Could you shed some light on the difference, please?
Okay. Actually, in IOU, we have both. We have Islamic education, which is our Sharia, bachelor's, master's, PhD in Sharia, and Arabic as a separate discipline. So those two, we can say, represent Islamic education because they're going to teach you about fiqh, they're going to teach you about hadith, tafsir, aqidah, etc., etc., etc. Whereas an Islamized education, or Islamicized, as you mentioned it, You know, that approach is really a revival of the early way of teaching and learning in the of the Muslim past, in the golden era of Muslims, when Muslims in Damascus and in Spain and Iraq, etc., were the centers of learning, and people came to study under the Muslim scholars there, and they had others also. But the Muslim scholars in the works which were written in those times, you can extract from the works the integration of Islam in the work, even though they may be talking about optics, or they're talking about aspects of mechanics or chemistry or whatever, there would be Quranic verses or hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interwoven in the text that they are teaching, right? And even they took guidance in terms of directions to focus on from the Islamic sources. So this is integrated, really. What we call the Islamized education is integrated education. So what we have done, and what Muslims need to do in our times, is that we have to bring Islamic understandings and thought, etc., in the material that we currently are teaching in all of our schools. So in our modern international schools, for example, the material which is being used is material produced mainly from US, UK, you know, Canada, Australia, whatever, which has been secularized. So religious teachings and concepts, etc., are totally removed from it. You know, and this is what they say: we remove religion from education. Education should be neutral. That's what that's how it's said. But for us as Muslims, that is not good. We are required to make whatever projects or systems that we operate with, they should be done from an Islamic perspective. We cannot remove Islam from the formula. So we need to bring Islam back into the lecture hall, back into the classrooms, back into the nurseries. You know, the students need to have Islam coming to them subtly. I mean, we don't want to go to an extreme where, for example, we turn, you know, a biology class into a tafsir class, because there's a verse that is related to the topic we're covering, but now we're going to do a massive tafsir, so the whole class just becomes tafsir of this verse, which talked about an aspect of science. You know, no, we keep it the science that is there, that is established and recognized and acceptable, we utilize that, but we also connect the students with the Quran. We connect the students with the hadith so that they realize and recognize the relevance, as well as the historical contributions that Muslims have made over the centuries. You know, because now a student who graduates from the schools across the Muslim world, if you ask them about Sir Isaac Newton, everybody knows. If you ask them about, you know, any major scientist of the West, they know. But if you ask them about the major scientists of the East from the Muslim world, they don't know who the people are. You know, Hassan ibn al-Haytham, you know, was an optician, a specialist in optics, etc. You ask the average Muslim about Hassan ibn al-Haytham, you know, they would say, is he a football player? Is he like Zainuddin Zaydan?
Right, they have no clue. An important point. It's about going back to that golden era where Islam was integrated into the education, where everything has that perspective, and the verses and the hadith, they come together and they support the science. It doesn't contradict the science, which makes it for a much richer education. So I think that's absolutely fascinating that you're doing that. And I know from when I integrate, let's say, psychology and the deen together, it has such a bigger impact. So, and I love the fact that you are doing this, because so many times in my own secular education, you find that they attribute things to Mother Nature or the universe. And it would be so refreshing to be able to speak about the Creator and the blessings and become more familiarized with the amazing achievements of our predecessors, mashallah. That's a wonderful clarification. And so tell us about the enrollment. When is the enrollment? I'm sure everyone is now excited. They want to get this Islamicized education at IOU. How do they enroll and when is enrollment?
Well, the enrollment process is relatively simple. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it's just a matter of going online to www.iou.edu.gm. That takes you to your homepage. And from there, you know, you click for enrollment and that takes you to the registration page and you fill out the registration page. And in case, you know, there's a request for a zip code, this stumbles some people. You know, if you don't have a zip code, you can put any number there and just carry on.
Any number.
Because much of the world doesn't know about zip codes.
So, mashallah. I think that's wonderful.
So, you know,
and what
that,
keeps you? Yes, go ahead.
After that, then it's a matter of uploading certificates. You know, after you've uploaded the certificates, which verify that you are a high school graduate, and, you know, even if your marks are low, we don't have a standard that, okay, you need to have gotten at least 60% or 80% or whatever to get in. No, you know, as long as you passed your high school, you know, you're eligible to enroll. And, you know, after that, then it's a matter of, you know, going to your desk, your desktop, and they have a special room that you enter as a student, and you know, you have access to the various elements of the course, and it's something that we have how to videos, you know, how to register, how to enroll, how to study your classes, how to access your written material, how to, so there are enough how to's there that you just only have to go again. But it's a matter of familiarization, you know. For those who have never studied online, the how-tos may be there, but it doesn't click in their mind. Like, okay, no, they say, I need to find somebody. Oh, yeah, we do have a help desk. We have a help desk.
That's great.
We go to all the time. You know, 24/7, the help desk is functioning. You know, so they will end up telling you, you know, go to how-to. If it's not something they can just give you a one word or one sentence answer, then they'll tell you, you know, go to the how-to. So it's been quite simplified, and there are we have student committees which are there to help students also. You can reach out to them, or they will reach out to you if it's seen, the system sees that you're stumbling, you know, then people will reach out and try to help you.
That it really helps to have a supportive environment where your questions are answered. You have easy videos to make it simplify. And mashallah, you have a psychology department too. That I was very excited to see that. And you did this. You were one of the first to establish the psychology, mashallah, department.
Yeah, the bachelor's of science in psychology. I mean, these were among the subjects which, you know, I offered in the Islamic studies department, you know, because university started as only Islamic studies and Arabic. So then that's why we call it the Islamic Online University. But what I did was, even though we were offering Islamic studies, I felt that there were areas which graduates from Islamic universities like myself needed to be trained in, so that when they come back home to their communities, you know, they would have the necessary skills to provide for the needs of the community.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when a person graduates from Medina or from Al-Azhar or from wherever, and they go back, you know, everybody calls you Sheikh, you know, and they want you to lead the community. You know, you should be the leader of the community. So, you know, they will put the sheikh up and he's to lead the community, but he has not had any training in management, you know, and administration. So this is why I said, no, students in Sharia must study a couple of courses in business administration, you know, and business management. Also, when you come back as an imam, you know, you're swamped by all of the problems of the community. They come, you know, help us. We have these marriage problems. We have business problems with our people who are working for us, or people are working over us. Or, again, this requires counseling skills. But now if you've just been in Sharia studying, you know, doing your studies, you're not dealing with counseling beyond seeing what the Prophet ﷺ did and getting some ideas, but real proper counseling, you're not trained for it. So I said, no, everybody has to do some courses in psychology so that
it would create a
skill of counseling. And so on and so forth in education, because when you come back, again, as a sheikh, you've come back, you know, they want you to teach. We have an Islamic school. We want you to head that Islamic school and teach the students Islam. And but you haven't learned how to teach. Yes, you have the knowledge, but, you know, how to impart that knowledge. You take a boy, somebody who has graduated from Medina University or from Azhar, and you put them in a school, and they're going to be teaching, you know, primary level, grade one, grade two, grade three. And, you know, this is the teacher's, you know, head would start spinning. Maybe it ends up taking the Quran and throwing it at one of the students.
Oh, no.
You know,
they need training.
They just become frustrated because they're not trained.
Right. Well, this is so progressive of you to think through this, because many people, you're right, they see the imam or the sheikh and he has to wear so many hats and he hasn't had training. And, it, you know, the fact that you're preparing them, mashallah, I think it's so exciting. What keeps you going? Is there a hadith? Is there something in your life that just keeps you pushing so hard, mashallah?
Well, the well-known hadith, in Allah yuhibbu min ahadikum idha amila amalan and yutqina, becomes, you know, for me, the major motto. If you're going to do anything, do it to the best of your ability. So this same principle is what we're applying in the Sharia program, which we started, you know, and then those subjects which were given were evolved into actual separate departments. So the psychology courses that they took became a psychology department. You know,
mashallah.
And Islamic banking and finance, it became a separate department. And IT, because again, people graduate, they come back and they're cut off from the IT world. There's a whole generation of scholars, people who studied, and they have no understanding of IT and internet and all this kind of thing. So we included those areas as separate disciplines. And education, again, a critical area which Muslims neglect. You know, most people only go into education when you can't get into anything else. You can't get into medicine, you can't get into engineering, you can't get into, you know, so on and so forth. At the end of the list is education. So, but the reality is that this is destroying our societies. Because, as they say in the computer science world, garbage in, garbage out.
Absolutely.
You know? So if you take the worst of your graduates and you make them the teachers of your next generation, what can you expect from that next generation?
Dr. Bilal, is there anything else that you'd like to mention?
Well, in closing, besides asking Allah to accept our effort, I'd just like to mention that the registration is going on right now. We have two semesters in a year, intake in September and an intake in March. So we're coming up to the intake for September. We have a week remaining for registration. Mm-hmm. We encourage all students who are interested or others who are interested to take the opportunity now and join. And there is a reduction for what we call early bird registration. So please, if you're interested, go immediately to the website and enroll.
Mashallah. So the enrollment is going on right now. And if you enroll now, you get a special discount for the early bird. So Jazakallah khairan, Dr. Bilal Phillips. It was such a pleasure to have you here today.
Barakallah fikum. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakallah khairan. It was a pleasure to have Dr. Bilal Phillips. Such an inspiration. Inshallah, we have all been inspired to seek more Islamic education. May Allah reward your effort and the effort of everyone on International Open University. We will take a short break and we will be right back to meet the Vice Chancellor of International Online University, Dr. Barry, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Inspirations. I'm your host, Hala Benani. We're back with our second guest from the International Open University, Dr. Cherno Omar Barry, who is the Vice Chancellor of International Open University. He is an accomplished academic, literary critic, editor, and researcher. He has also served in the highest positions in Gambia, including being permanent secretary to the office of the president. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for the invitation.
It's a pleasure to have you, mashallah. So, you know, many people do not know the difference between Islamicized education and Islamic education. Could you shed some light on that, please?
Yes, I think it is important for us to make a distinction. I'm sure for most of us who have got a little history of Islam in the early years, or let's say quarter century of the Islam, most of the research that has been done, the education that has been done, was done in all subjects, but from the basis of Islam, using the Quran and the Sunnah to guide them. So I'm sure we've known of discoveries that have happened in algebra, algorithm, and a host of other things that has all been inspired from the perspective of Islamized education, meaning that the education that was gained at the time has also taken into consideration the concepts of, you know, the deen being something that is part of us, that is our daily life, that is our thinking, our philosophy, our understanding of the world. And therefore, from that basis, then science was studied, from the basis, psychology was studied, philosophy was studied, and therefore it brings much more understanding of how we live as people, but how we live also as Muslims, with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what we will call Islamized education. Whilst Islamic education is probably just learning, learning the Quran and knowing how to read and write, Arabic, because you are a Muslim, and then learning the Quran, learning some of the hadith to understand better Islam, knowing how to pray, knowing what are some of the fundamentals of your deen, and practicing them. So this can be called Islamic education. You are learning Islam through a form of education. But Islamized education is learning any other thing, geography, psychology, physics, chemistry, biology, but from an Islamic perspective, so that you understand that everything has an Islamic view of what you need to know in this world. And the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has demonstrated in that Quran. I'm sure a lot of miracles of science have been shown, in the Quran to testify that, in fact, Islam has always also accommodated revelation, it has accommodated innovation, it has accommodated creativity to make our life much better.
MashaAllah. So it's about integrating Islam within every subject. That is the Islamicized education. And then the Islamic education is just learning about Islam. So that is beautifully explained.
Perfectly.
Now, I know that accreditation is very critical. If you could tell us, first of all, Is the International Open University accredited, and how important is it to have accreditation?
Alhamdulillah, the International Open University, which started in 2010, really started showing interest to many, many people. Many students started, that Islamized education that it was offering became a kind of an interest. And naturally, the founder and chancellor, Dr. Bilal Phillips, found it necessary then to seek for accreditation. Yes, as I speak with you presently, after about 12 years now, we are fully accredited in the Gambia, and we are also accredited in Malawi, alhamdulillah. And we also have our program accreditations. So we have what we call the license institution, but also have the program accreditation. And alhamdulillah, it is a great effort that has been done from the team of IOU, but also from many well-wishers who have supported the efforts. And also, as I speak with you, we have done the bachelor's programs that have been completed, reviewed, curriculum reviewed, and updated. Yeah, and now what we are doing now, we have decided to develop the master's program for all the other disciplines that we have. and they have been submitted for accreditation. So it's an ongoing process now. So we are hoping, inshallah, that the accreditation will be completed soon, and we will also have all our master's programs offered. And we have also started working on our PhD. For example, the PhD Islamic Studies already offered already, and we are hoping that we will develop our PhD programs in the very short time, inshallah.
That's amazing. So the accreditation has been established for some of the bachelor's programs. You're working towards the master's and the PhD. May Allah put so much barakat in all that you're doing. So I think a lot of people are very interested in being a part of this amazing institution. How can students enroll in IOU?
Oh, that's very interesting. Because the IOU, contrary to many institutions that you know, it's very unique. It's very unique in the sense that we are entirely online. We offer our courses online. And therefore, in as much as we need to also respect the fact that there is a cycle to do, so there are two cycles. There is what we call the fall cycle and the spring cycle. So naturally, courses will stop at some point, exams will be done, and another program will also kick off for another cycle. So two cycles in the year. But then it does not stop enrollment. Enrollment is a continuous process throughout the year. In fact, as I speak with you now, there's some good news that people need to know. We do offer a very big discount for students who enroll early. We call them the early birds. So in August, for example, from the 1st of August to the end of August, we do early enrollment. And anybody who enrolls during this period, you have about 10% discount on the fees.
Inshallah.
And
that's
I think
incredible.
That means a lot, inshallah. So we are starting courses around second week of April, and the chances are we might even extend it for an extra week, in the first week of September. So the second week of September is when we start courses, but if people are really keen, they should now come on board, because they do have the early bird offer still on board, and that will help them. So enrollment doesn't stop, it is a throughout year process. And that is the nature of our operations. It allows people to be guided, to be mentored, to be prepared, so that once the courses kick off, they will start getting their courses, inshallah.
Mashallah, that's wonderful. Now, we were talking about it being tuition-free, and could you please explain that? Did I misunderstand that it's tuition-free?
Yes, actually, when we say tuition-free, when we compare us to many universities, you look at our fees, enrollment fees, that's what we call them, enrollment fees, you realize that we have a serious discount already. And you have additional discounts like the early bird and all that, but we already have a serious discount. Let me just give you an example. Let's say, for example, you are within Africa and your purchasing power is very low. We have decided that for those who are within this context, the fees will be very, very low. So you pay about $110 for the semester.
Wow.
Between $110 to
$110 for the whole semester for the people in Africa.
For the whole semester. Yes, especially if you are within this zone. Now, let's assume you are within a zone where maybe your purchasing power is much higher. Still yet, it's very competitive, because if you are in the US, for example, or the UK, you are probably required to pay only $350 for the semester. And that means you pay less than $1,000 in the year. Many
That's
universities
amazing.
Will not offer that kind of an opportunity.
Okay.
And what that means is that you can get your bachelor's if you are from a low developing country or a least developed country for probably almost about $1,000 for a whole 4-year program.
Mashallah.
Whereas
that
if you are in a developed
remarkable.
Country, you might not go beyond
That is remarkable to make it so affordable.
Mashallah.
How many students have enrolled and in how many different countries?
Well, presently we can boast of almost between 500 to 600,000 students.
Mashallah.
Now,
600,000.
Alhamdulillah. What we have now is that we do have what we call those who are enrolling in our bachelor's program, that is the degree programs, which we are offering. But we also offer certificate and what we call diploma programs. Now, ones also offer a much less number of years, and you can also get in any of these disciplines we offer a certificate or a diploma. You can even get what we call an associate degree. So this is very important to announce, because people don't have to believe that they have to go the stretch 4 years to get whatever they need. So that, as a result, if you put all that figure together, you might probably get up to about 600,000. But if you go by the figures actually now, as we speak, mm-hmm. we do have about 200,000 students who are enrolled completely doing their bachelor's and, you know, doing their other certificates.
Wonderful. MashaAllah. May Allah put barakat in it, and may you educate millions and millions of students. And what is the future for International Open University?
Well, we are still continuing our most important objective, which is changing the nation through education. There are a lot of people, Muslims in particular, but we are not restricted to Muslims. We are restricted to everybody who is willing to join us. We don't discriminate in religion. But we have a lot of people out there who are in need of education, who are in need of understanding maybe their deen much better than they should, who are also in need of skills. The International Open University is willing to take education to their doorsteps. And this is in the real literal sense. Not that concept that we say we bring it to your doorstep by building schools. No, this is actually within your bedroom. You can study there, you don't have to leave it there. And you can do any of those studies, bachelor's, master's, and PhD soon to come. And we mean it because we think if you study, what will happen eventually is that you can get the skills, but you can also get the knowledge that you were earning for. So yes, we have been expanding, and alhamdulillah, we pray to Allah for the support that many people are giving us, and we are hoping that gradually we will reach out to those who are needy and who will benefit from the education we offer.
That's truly amazing. MashaAllah, Jazakallah Khair. And Dr. Cherno Omar Berry, the Vice Chancellor of International Open University, you have really inspired us at the work that you and Dr. Bilal Phillips have done in creating a very accessible and affordable way to gain Islamicized education, which is so critical. I pray that more and more people benefit from this. Make sure you look up the International Open University and enroll and educate yourself so that you can help change the nation, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Barakallahu feekum.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan for tuning in today. Join us next week with another episode of Inspirations.